Okay. First of all, I want to thank the organizers for having me here. It's really great pleasure for me. And because this is my first time, I get maybe a little bit nervous, but it is good after a second. And also I want to say that this talk is, in fact, just about some part of a bigger project which has been designed and supervised by my supervisor, Masoud. And let's start with, of course, this is not part of my transparencies are printed. This is just page zero somehow. I want to somehow remind you what has been done before this, very quickly. As we know, Kahn and Moscovici defined the Hopf cyclic theory by considering a Hopf algebra H with a modular pair involution delta and sigma, where delta is a character and sigma is group-like element. With that relation, we'll get into that later on. And they defined the Hopf cyclic theory by defining this structure. As you know, this is a complex, faces, degeneracies, and this cyclic map. Then Masoud and some others, they generalize this theory into more general setting in the way that they start with a triple, a Hopf algebra, H-module coalgebra, and they define the notion of a stable anti-Eta Riedenfeld H-module, which somehow it's a generalization of notion of modular pair involution, and they assign this structure as a cyclic structure to this triple, which as we know in very special case it turns down to the previous one. And what we want to do is to define this whole theory in a more general setting, in a more general framework somehow, such that not only this it covers these previous works, but also it can be a kind of machinery that can give us a kind of Hopf cyclic theory for more other objects, especially, for example, for super Hopf algebras and quasi Hopf algebras. So this is why we call this project Hopf cyclic cohomology in braided monoidal categories. And one of the main goals is that we somehow recall these standard notions of braided monoidal categories, and we recall the definition of braided Hopf algebra, which is the Hopf algebra in this general setting, and then we define a Hopf cyclic theory for H. In fact, our strategy is in the way that we define the braided version of those Hopf cyclic theory for triples, and then the special case would be a braided version of Moscovici's Hopf cyclic theory. And as a non-trivial example, as I said, we would have a Hopf cyclic theory for super Hopf algebras. And of course, because at first we restrict ourselves to symmetric monoidal categories, which I will explain what it is, then at the end I will give some results about the non-symmetric one. So let's start with some preliminary definitions. These are very classic definitions. Until the page, I think, 10, 11 are very classic standard definitions. Of course, in more general setting, in the language of category, as you see. Monoidal category, you don't need to read all these things. I will explain. I want you to see these formulas and these things. This monoidal category is a category which has a kind of tensor product, you know it's a functor. And a unit object, you will see why we call it unit. And three natural isomorphisms. The first one, first natural isomorphism is a map for any triple ABC object. It's a natural isomorphism like this. And because of this, as you see, they call it associator. And two others, they are called the left and right unit isomorphisms, and this is why we call I unit object. And these natural isomorphisms have to satisfy these so-called diagrams. This is so-called pentagon, and this is triangle diagram. Now, we have a monoidal category. We want to add one more structure, which is called braid or braiding. You have that monoidal category, and you have one more natural isomorphism, which works like this. As you see, this reminds you the usual flip in category of vector space, and that's in fact the trivial example of this framework. And this braid map, which is a natural isomorphism, has to satisfy these two so-called hexagon diagrams. All these diagrams, in fact, give the axioms of the braided monoidal categories. If you like, in fact, this is what I'm going to do. If you like to look, it looks simpler, you can. Of course, I will get to that. Just let me first remind one more thing. If you have a braided monoidal category, if the braiding map has this property, which in most cases we just easily write it psi 2 equal to identity, and this really makes sense, especially when you take A and B to be equal. If this property satisfies, we call it symmetric braided monoidal category. You will see the examples. Of course, the trivial example is the vectors, category of vector space. And as I said, if you want everything to look easier, at least in the sense of computation, it's well known that any braided monoidal category is equivalent to strict one. By strict one means somehow we extend the category in some sense to some other category, that all those isomorphisms other than the braiding, all those isomorphisms associativity and unit isomorphisms are just identities, which means this. Those axioms just turn down to this one. All those axioms, first diagram turns down to this thing. And two axioms psi turns down to this. And this makes sense, because if you want to, in usual sense, I mean in trivial sense, when you use the braid, if you want to just change the position of A and B and C, you can change first A and B and then A and C. So this is why in our computation, essentially we use the strict monoidal category. Pardon? Yeah, it is. Yeah, without braiding exists, and with braiding exists too. Yeah. In fact, for braiding, you don't have any problem. If they use the original one, it somehow preserve the braiding map. And the good thing is that if your original one is symmetric, the strict one is symmetric too. This is the good thing. So as a first example of these monoidal categories, braided monoidal categories, let's look at this one, which is a kind of category of representation of a usual Hopf algebra. which I think is kind of maybe one of the best source of braided monoidal categories, which are abelian too. And being abelian, you know, is important for us because we want to do homological algebra. So let's start with a Hopf algebra equipped with a R structure, which they call it quasi-triangular Hopf algebra. And then it's well known that the category of, say, left representations of H is a braided monoidal abelian category. The thing that I want you to see is to look at the braid map. First of all, let me remind you that the tensor structure is defined like this, as usual. And just as a reminder, we are using this Swedler notation for co-multiplication. And what I want you to see, this is the braiding map using the quasi-structure, quasi-triangular structure. And as I said, this is a, I can say this is a more general source of braided monoidal categories, which are abelian too. As a special case of that one, let's consider our Hopf algebra to be just CZ2 by Z2, I mean the cyclic group of order 2 by generator G, and consider non-trivial quasi-triangular structure defined by this formula. So this is a special case of the previous example. Then this Z2 mod, which is the category of all, Z2 graded vector spaces or super vector spaces, is a braided monoidal category again, and that formula turns down to this one. So this is braiding for category of super vectors, the non-trivial braiding for category of super vector spaces. And as a remark, you can extend this example for any n, and in fact the fact is that for n equal to 2, this example, the category is symmetric, but for n equal bigger than 2, for n bigger than 2, the category is not symmetric anymore. As one more example, which is again a standard example, the category of Yetter-Grimfeld. Yetter-Grimfeld category, which you start with a Hopf, is somehow, in some sense, is some kind of subcategory of the last category, the first one, except for the braiding. You start with a Hopf algebra and consider the Yetter-Grimfeld module, which are Yetter-Grimfeld is a H module and also is a H co-module, and these two construction, these two module and co-module structure have this compatibility condition. This is what they call it, Yetter-Grimfeld H module. Now, having this, look at this category, the category of all Yetter-Grimfeld H modules. It's well known that this category is the braided monoidal abelian category, and the braiding map is like this. And again, this category in general is not symmetric, and we have this formula for the inverse of this isomorphism, because as I said, these are natural isomorphisms. So our first definition, to get into the point, is definition of a Hopf algebra, or let's say braided Hopf algebra, which is nothing but a Hopf algebra in this more general framework. So let's start with a braided monoidal category. As you see, we just talk about the strict one. This is a structure, and a Hopf algebra consists of an object, and these morphisms, as you know, as in usual case, everything is as usual case, but in language of just morphism and object. These are morphisms which call multiplication, unit, co-multiplication, co-unit, and antipode, and these are usual axioms that we expect. I just want you to notice that this is the first and only place in this definition that this braiding map seriously appears. So if you consider it in the usual vector space, this would be the usual Hopf algebra, but you can consider it in any braiding Hopf algebra, any braided monoidal category, and then you have a notion of braided Hopf algebra. So we have the first notion as a special example, which we will back to that later. Look at this example. If you consider your category, braided category, to be Z2-mod, as I mentioned, then any Hopf algebra in this category is called a super Hopf algebra. That's one of our main non-trivial examples in this talk, at least. The other example for braided Hopf algebra, you start with any Yetter Grünfeld H module and just construct TV, which is the tensor algebra. This turns out to be a Hopf algebra by this multiplication and co-unit defined on any element of V. And of course, you have to extend it in usual sense, as you know. I have to go a little bit faster. So, we need some more definitions. H module and H co-modules are defined in terms of morphisms in this way. If you start with H, everything right now is a kind of braided version. You have a braided Hopf algebra. An object in your category is H module if you have this action satisfying these conditions. If you think these are just usual conditions, just written in terms of morphisms. And H co-module is an object with this co-action which satisfies this relation. So everything can be defined. And this is the first somehow new definition that we have. In fact, this is what they already defined in usual sense. They defined the notion of anti-Yetter Grünfeld H modules, and we just generalized it here in the any braided monoidal category. So say a right-left braided stable anti-Yetter Grünfeld H module in C is an object in C, which is first of all a right H module by this action, a left H co-module by coaction, and satisfy this relation. If you like, this relation is in fact the categorification of this relation that they already had. This is what they had as a when you write it in terms of elements, you have this. And also a stables means this relation. You see again psi appears here, which they already had in terms of elements. So this is the first definition of ours. And of course, I have to recall one more notion, because for triples, as I showed in the first transparency, for triples you need Hopf algebra, H co-module algebra, and H stable anti-Yetter Grünfeld module. So this is the last one. H module co-algebra is an object C, which of course has a co-algebra structure, and also has a H module structure, H module action, and these two structures have this compatibility. And if you write it down in terms of elements, in usual sense, you get the usual meaning of H co-module algebra. So now, we already have defined this triple in any braided monoidal category. H Hopf algebra, everything is braided. And C is a H module coalgebra, and M is a stable anti-Yetter Greenfeld H module. Now we are going to define their Hofstede-Lick theory for this triple in a general braided monoidal category. As usual, we define those standard structures, complex faces, degeneracies. This is that we defined it. This is our complex. Of course, we first define it in so-called non-local way, and then localize it. We first have a paracyclic structure, and then we get a cyclic structure. This is our complex. This is what they call it, in usual sense, they call it Hofstede-Lick theory with coefficient in M. And the faces, degeneracies, and cyclic map are defined like this, and our first proposition is that the framework, our braided monoidal category, is symmetric. Of course, symmetric monoidal abelian category, this construction is a paracyclic module. By paracyclic, if you remember, it means all the cyclic structures satisfied except this one. This last one doesn't satisfy, and this is why they call it paracyclic. And now we just somehow localize it, or somehow take this tensor, our H. This is the last, just look at the last complex. We just change the tensor, our H. And everything, every of these maps induce map on that new complex. So the new complex, pardon? Yeah, sure, yeah. I'm sorry, I don't hear you. Yeah?
You said paracyclic, but it's written paracosine.
Oh, this is a confusion of notion, I think, yeah.
You meant paracosine.
Paracyclic. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe I pronounced it just wrong. Yeah, I meant paracosine, yeah. But no, I say it in two ways. You can say it either, this is, of course, maybe it's my wrong, I don't know. You can say paracocycle, which is the better one, or I just call it cyclic structure, cyclic theory, like that, yeah. Sorry about that, yeah. So if you consider this complex now, the tensor is our H now, and as you know, all those cyclic, all those maps are induced in this complex, and the main theorem says that if C is symmetric, braided monoidal abelian category, then this structure is really a co-cyclic module in C. So, as a very special case, if you, in your triple, H, C, and M, if you put C to be H itself, as H module coalgebra, and if you let M to be I, which I explained it later on, in fact, in the next section I will explain all these things in detail, then this theorem gives us a braided version of Kahn-Moskowitz's Hofstede-Lick theory. in any symmetric braided monoidal chatticles. And as an application, use it to develop a Hofstede-Glick theory for super-Hof algebras, for example. So this is the main theorem. We need just some more definitions. I try to go faster. So as in usual case, we can define for any, say, braided of algebra, we can define the notion of braided modular period evolution, which means a character. First of all, a character is just a morphism from H to I, which is algebra map. A co-character is a map from I to H, which is a co-algebra map. And these pair called a modular pair if the composition is identity of I. And more than this, we need to define the modular pair in involution. So first we have to define the notion of delta twisted antipod. If you have this antipod S, you can twist it by this character delta, which they call it delta twisted. Delta twisted antipod is defined by this composition of maps. And of course, this proposition shows that the usual properties that we expect from antipod and twisted antipod satisfy. Although you don't need symmetric and even abelian, being category abelian in these parts. So the definition is BMPI, which is braided monoidal, braided modular pair in evolution. You have those pairs. We call it modular pair in evolution if this property, this condition satisfies. And if you want, if you write it in terms of elements, you get this relation, which is the usual relation that Kahn and Moscovici called it modular pair involution. As a good example, you consider I, the unit element, and you can consider I by this map, and this map has a module and co-module, and it's easy to show that this I is a braided stable anti-Hilbert Driffeld module over H if and only if this pair is a braided modular pair in evolution. And now we have this braided version of Kahn-Moscovici's theorem. If in main theorem you just consider your triple to be H and I. Of course, you start with this H, with this modular pair involution and twisted antipod. Then, in the main theorem, if you put C to be H itself and M to be I, as I mentioned, everything reduces to these explicit formulas for complex faces and degeneracies. And I will show you the cyclic map too. And as you see, this is really a braided version of Kahn-Moscovici's Hofstede-Glick theory. The interesting part is this part, in fact, cyclic map, because this is where this psi and this braiding map comes to the play, and I have to explain here by Mn, as I explained, as I wrote down, by Mn, I mean for one is just M, for N is M of Hn, which defines as this formula. N is just the multiplication of H. And if you want for Fn of psi, which is this formula, in usual sense, when you use it for elements, in usual sense, let me write it just for 3, because I don't have that much time. This means you start with 6 elements, 2n elements, A, say, B, C, A prime, B prime, C prime. And you have to change the orders using this phi of psi to get this one. A prime, B prime, C C prime. So if you write it down in terms of elements, in usual sense, you get this. As a non-trivial example, we can define a Hofstede-Glick theory for Superhof algebra. Of course, the Superhof algebra, as I mentioned, is a Hof algebra in Z to mod. These are just a reminder of usual definition of a Superhof algebra. I'm going to pass that way because I'm going to run time. In this last theorem, of course, let me just remind you that for Superhof algebra, you can define the notion of modular pair involution as well, because we defined it in more general way, in more general setting of braided. Only that just in super vector spaces, a character is the usual character which preserves the degree, and everything else the same. So you have the notion, and the theorem says that if you have a Superhof algebra equipped with a modular pair involution in this sense, then those relations can be written as this. And if you look at this, this is exactly what Kahn and Scrooge have in because these are written in terms of elements. So what difference is, as we saw, is in the last map, which is the cyclic map. And the cyclic map, you see this part is the same as they already had. What this part has, this part is what this phi of psi does. Because in this sense, the braiding is not usual flip. It has a sign. And you compute this sign. So you have this. And this is a kind of Hofstede-Glick theory for a Superhof algebra. As an application of this Superhof algebra, you can start with a Super Lie algebra and define the notion of exterior algebra and universal enveloping algebra, the same as in the usual way, of course, by working in this context of supervector spaces. Then it turns out that UG is a Superhof algebra, in fact, is a co-commutative Superhof algebra. So that you have this God-given modular pair involution. And we prove this theorem. In fact, we generalize this theorem that already exists for the Superhof algebra. Let me just, in just maybe 1 minute, yeah? That's good, yeah, if I have, that's better, yeah. Let me tell you, as I told you, all these things has been done in a symmetric braided monoidal category. So we have been restricted that that property psi 2 equal to identity. Now, I'm going to show you some parts of our results about non-symmetric one, just in a special case of just Kahn-Moskowitz's Hofstede-Glick theory. Consider this is the same as theorem that we already had, except we don't consider the category to be symmetric. And the maps are the same. The complex map, everything is the same. And the theorem says without symmetry, we have a paracyclic structure, or we have a paracyclic module. Yeah? So even without symmetry, we still have a paracyclic module. And everything is the same as before, even the cyclic. And to show you just a taste of the proof, at least in this last part, we have one more theorem. What happens to the last condition? Do you remember the last condition for cyclic, difference between paracyclic and cyclic was this, 2n to the power n plus 1, has to be identity. And this is what we showed. And this is just for n equal to 3. We showed that for n equal to 3, for n equal to 3 is psi 2. And you see, this is cyclic if and only if this psi is identity. And this is the proof. This is the first page of proof. Yeah, one more two page. This is just you see to see the taste of the how this computation goes. And this is the last one. We start from that and get the psi 2. You see? Do you see that? Yeah. And as a last remark, we have this general formula. In general, we have this tau n to the power n plus 1 is psi 2 is identity. And this general, this process of just not having this symmetric can be done in more general setting, but I just wanted to show you in a special case. And I again just want to thank the organizers and thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.